Hello. Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. And when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. While they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. And when they had come to Capernaum, those who collected the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax? And he said, Yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax, from the sons or from strangers? And upon his saying, from strangers, Jesus said to him, Consequently, the sons are exempt. But lest we give them offense, go to the sea, throw in a hook, take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a stater. Take that and give it to them for you and me. Amen. Okay. So if you remember in the previous chapter, this is 17, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will then recompense every man according to his deeds. And so remember, the whole idea was discipleship. This is going to be tough. Pick up your cross. But he says, but at the end of it, the Son of Man comes down, and the glory of God is going to come, and his glory far exceeds whatever potential suffering may occur during that time. And so now we come to the transfiguration. So six days has passed, and in this part, Jesus takes the three. I don't know if you've noticed, but numbers are very significant in the Bible. So you go back to the way Jesus organizes things. So he has 70 disciples, okay? 70 disciples, that's the same thing in the Old Testament as the 70 elders. And so we see a direct connection. Just give you an idea, that's Exodus 24:1 and Numbers 11:16. Next, you have the 12 disciples. That corresponds with what? The 12 tribes of Israel. We see this happening. And then now, within that, you have the three. So you can look at these like concentric circles. You have the three, and most likely, this is a reference to David's three mighty men. In 2 Samuel 23:12, remember, David sings his final song, and then he makes mention of the exploits of these chosen men, and particularly these three are singled out. It's Josheb, Bashabeth, Eleazar, and Shema. Basically, Peter, James, and John are equivalent to David's three mighty men. And so we, right, the 70, the 12, the three. So then we come to this transfiguration, and the location actually is unknown. People are still debating it. Some say it's at Mount Hermon. Some say it's at Mount Tabor. You know, they go back and forth on this. In any case, these three are really blessed to be able to see really his true nature. What is Jesus's true nature? You're actually seeing it right here. He's illuminated. He's glorified in this way. And then on either side of him is Moses and Elijah. Very interesting, right? You would think, some people would think, no, it should be Esau and Elijah. Because, who's the guy that didn't die? Enoch, right? It should be Enoch and Elijah because they both didn't die. But that's not the point. It's Moses and Elijah because Moses and Elijah are the only ones that talk to God on Mount Sinai. And so you have to, if you really want to understand the transfiguration, you have to go back to the Exodus story. So sometimes it's a little confusing when you hear this, but you have to first come to the realization, the understanding that the disciples are terrified. Okay, I mean they're absolutely just in fear at this time. Peter's words, and I know in if you look in Greek, actually it could probably best be translated as a question. In other words, the question that he's asking is, Lord, is it good for us to be here? You know, it's just kind of like, should we be here? Now, where does that come from? I'll tell you, it comes all the way back from the Exodus story. Do you remember when Moses was on Mount Sinai and the bright light came down upon him? What happened? Take off your shoes, right? Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. You know, you see all these things. And they even said, anyone that even comes near the mountain, like you just come near the footstool of the mountain, it says, you're going to die. And so you can imagine what the disciples are thinking. Here they are. They're on a mountain, right? Moses and Elijah are standing next to Jesus, the only ones that spoke to God on the mountain, on Sinai. You have Jesus, and he's being illuminated. He's being transfigured. And so what are these guys thinking? Oh, we're going to die. Like, this is it. This is over. And that's why he asks, maybe there can be a tent, right? You know, just think about, Lord, is it okay that we're here right now? You know, because we know that when people come up to this place and, you know, and this is really in some ways a sign of Peter's humility. He knows that he's a sinful man. You know what I mean? It's like, we're not supposed to be here. And so can we actually erect three shelters, right? Notice none for Moses, Elijah, or Jesus, but for the three sinful men, right? Can we erect a shelter to hide us, you know, from this thing? By the way, let me just add this little tidbit. Do you remember in Exodus 33, do you remember when Moses prays, right? And he says that, okay, you know, I've shown you favor, da, da, da. And then Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. Do you remember that? Moses' prayer is being answered right here, right? You know, when Jesus says, you know, the prophets and, you know, all patriarchs, they long to see what you're seeing. Isn't this, it's kind of beautiful in a way. Moses' prayer is answered. His prayer all the way back in Exodus 33, because now he's seen the glory of God laid out here in this place. The radiance of his glory. It's quite a beautiful thing. Let me in 2 Corinthians 4:6. I'll just give this to you. Paul says, "The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in Jesus' face." And so Moses is literally, his prayer is literally being answered here at the Transfiguration. He waited a long time for this prayer to be answered, but it's answered in this place. And so these guys, they're terrified. And so they say, okay, can we get the shelter? Can we get this covering? But then no need, because the cloud comes. Remember, just like in the Old Testament, just like in the Exodus, the cloud comes to cover them. The cloud comes, and then the voice cries out. And this is, like I said, this is every child longs to hear this voice. This is my beloved son, right? Listen to him. Now there's a command attached with this one. Listen to him. And so they fall to the ground at this. You know, this is like the there are some charismatic phenomena. You know, sometimes you know, people, when they get touched by the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues. Some prophesy. You know, some shake uncontrollably, and some fall to the ground. And we see this spiritual phenomena. And the easiest way to describe this is when the natural, you know, the human body, when the natural comes face to face with the supernatural, who wins? The supernatural wins every single time. And so you'll have this phenomenon. So these guys fall on their faces and they're terrified. And then Jesus comes and touches them on the shoulder and lets them know, hey, it's okay. Right? It's okay. Don't be afraid. And then they have the courage to lift their eyes up. And of course, then Jesus is there by himself. And so, you know, when he talks about the Son of Man is going to come in glory, these guys get a glimpse of what that looks like. And what happens? They're terrified. I know sometimes we pray, oh Lord, we want to see the glory of God. Yes, we do. But we also need to be aware that his glory compared to our sinfulness, right? There's going to be a clash that occurs in this place. So they get up. Now, they come down to the bottom of the mountain. They've survived. So it's like, well, praise God. They come down, and then a man comes up. So he's talking about the other 9 disciples. So the 3 are up there, right? So the other 9 are down here. And there's huge crowds, so seemingly the disciples start trying to be like Jesus. And they start praying for people and things like that. And there seemed to be a little bit of success, except for this one, this man whose son is demonized. And so he prays. I hope you notice that this prayer that Jesus always answers. Verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son. Right, he's crying out for the hesed, have mercy on my son. And so your disciples, you know, they couldn't do anything. And so Jesus takes the boy, and look at verse 18, and Jesus rebuked him. Remember, Jesus only rebukes the demonic. And so he rebukes the spirit that's causing this illness, you know, and this insanity. Brothers and sisters, when you're praying for illness, when you're praying for disease and ailments, make sure that some of your prayers are also spiritual warfare prayers. You don't know, right? If this illness or this disease or whatever it may be, or in this case, this insanity is a demonic root. It may be or may not be, but we should be very well-rounded in the way to make sure that we do pray prayers of spiritual warfare to defeat, you know, the works of the devil. And so this we know this instance is demonic. And so he rebukes it. The boy, right, gets cured at once. And the disciples come privately and say, why couldn't we do it, right? And he says, it's because of the littleness of your faith. And then he gives the parable of the mustard seed. And remember, the mustard seed was the smallest known seed. So there's nothing special about the mustard seed. It's just the smallest known seed during this time. Now we know there's other seeds that are smaller, but in this time, it was the smallest known seed to man. And he says that if you had just this little faith, right? And so think about what he's saying. It's because of the littleness of your faith But if you had just a little bit of faith, right? I mean, it's the littleness of your faith, but if you had this tiny little speck of faith, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move. And crazy enough, you know, there's a, I knew a man, he was a pastor. He was a pastor, now he runs a prayer mountain. And it's an amazing story. He actually, Youngi Cho, you know, the pastor of the largest church in the world, came to L.A., and he was in L.A. for a season, and he started a church with this man. And he was a layperson. He was a businessman, a successful businessman. Church grew like crazy, and so but Youngi Cho went back to Korea. So this guy basically took over the church. He's not a pastor and stuff. And so he was kind of, you know, doing his thing, and, you know, church was growing and things. And then, crazy enough, the connection. And then my pastor, my first pastor, my spiritual father, he started a church in L.A., also coming from Yeouido. And then a lot of the members went to his church. And so his church was, like, decimated. So he was discouraged. He basically bought some land. The church had bought some land, and he started a prayer mountain up on the thing, up on the hill. And over time, he was just getting more and more discouraged. Long story short, he goes, and he's been taking this walk up every morning. So he goes up to take this walk, and he basically says, you know what, I'm giving up. And the one morning he goes up to basically say goodbye to God. I mean, it sounds so melodramatic, right? I mean, only Koreans are like this. And so he goes up and he says he's going to say goodbye to God. And then as he goes, because he's not connecting with God, it's been quite a bit of time now. So he goes up and he's saying goodbye to God and says, okay, I'm done with this. You know, I'm going to abandon everything and leave. And then all he hears is this whisper and this verse. Just have faith as a mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, move, and it'll move. And so that gave him some courage. And so he started going up to the mountain for a bit. And about a week later, he's praying this, right? He's praying this verse that he's given. It's like the one ounce of truth that he has in his heart. And all of a sudden, in his compound, in his place, he sees these trucks come up. And no one comes to this place. So he goes down. And he meets these men, and it's a construction company. And they come in, they says, oh, we've been surveying the land all over this place, and so we actually need your soil. We need your ground. It's the perfect ground because we're doing something in San Diego. And so we're building something, and so can we buy this from you? And sure enough, man, they bought this land. Basically, it's one hill, one mountain. They took all the soil from that mountain, and it went down into the sea, into the Pacific Ocean and things. And then he got all this money. He was able to build his prayer mountain. It's actually very successful. It's one of the best prayer mountains, you know, around there. I used to go there all the time to pray. And but literally, right, if you have just a little bit of faith, you can say to this mountain, move. This literally happened to this guy, right? And he made a windfall, you know, on top of that. And, of course, you know, he came back to God, and he's doing quite well. I haven't seen him in ages, but he's a really interesting dude. But what an incredible testimony. Oh, you just need to – and I say this because he had no faith. You know, I mean, he was going to say goodbye to God. That's how little God needs, this little mustard seed of faith. And so, and then, verse 21, I love this verse, but this kind meaning this kind, this demon, right? There's different kinds of demons, different strength of demons. Remember he says, and then if you just sweep it under, there are seven times more wicked than it yourself. And so there's a level of wickedness here. And then he says, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting, right? There's some consecration that needs to take place. And so this happens. He's continually telling them, right, the Son of Man is going to be delivered. Remember before he talks about Elijah, right, who is John the Baptist. That's a nod to the book of Malachi when it says, and before the great and terrible day, you know, he will send forth the spirit of Elijah, and he will come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers as I come and strike the land with a curse, if you remember that. So he's making a nod to that, but he's telling them, just as he suffered, I'm going to suffer. Remember, disciples don't want to hear any of that stuff. We're like, whenever he starts talking about that, they just tune him out. In fact, at the end of 23, they just basically say, and they were deeply grieved. And they didn't want to hear this stuff. And then in 24, so they come back to Capernaum. Remember, Capernaum was Peter's home. So this is the last time that Jesus and Peter will spend time together in his home. That'll be an important fact to understand what Jesus does. So they came to Capernaum, and those who collected the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax?" And Peter says, "Yes. Actually, no." I'll explain. The 2 drachma tax is the annual tax for the temple. And so this is money for the temple treasury. This is like a tax for the upkeep. A rabbi, right, a teacher, does not need to pay this tax. And so for them to ask is an insult to Jesus. They were insulting him when they asked this tax. And Peter, intimidated by these religious leaders, said, "Yeah, okay, yeah, yes, he's supposed to." But he's not supposed to, right? And so Peter kind of put his foot in his mouth once again. And so then Jesus comes to Peter and he says this, "What do you think, Simon? Whom do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax, from their sons or from strangers?" Right? And he says, "Of course, from strangers." He answered correctly. He says, "Consequently, the sons are exempt." Right? In other words, I don't need to pay this tax. Right? But he said that he would. And so look what happens in verse 27. "But lest we give them offense." Huh? When was the last time, right, Jesus didn't want to offend the Pharisees? You know what I mean? Like, when was the last time he didn't want to offend the Sadducees and all these things? And so he says, "Lest we give them offense, go to the sea, throw in a hook, take the first fish that comes out of your mouth, open its mouth, and you'll find a stater." Stater is 4 denarius, all right, denarii, which is, right, the 2 drachma tax is 2 denarii. It's 2, so it's 4. So that's, so it's like, you know, perfect change. You know what I mean? It's like perfect provision, just like the loaves and the fish. I mean, absolutely perfect, right? Got to pay for him and pay for you. And so I'm basically going to cover this. And so, I mean, this is what an amazing miracle. But why does Jesus do this? It goes back. This is the last time they're going to spend together in Peter's home. I think that number one, I mean, Peter put his foot in his mouth again. You know, basically, he's just fearing these religious officials, which was, like I said, which was incredibly insulting to ask Jesus to pay this tax. And then, so Jesus bails him out, and perhaps for the next night or so, they just wanted to have peace together and not argue with the officials and, you know, get into a fight about all these things, right? Just go get the tax, pay them. You know, I imagine Jesus, "Peter, let's spend some time together," right? Then Capernaum was home base for Jesus and disciples. And the last time they would spend in his home, they just wanted to have peace. And it gives you a little bit of idea of Jesus' heart, right? It's just his affection for Peter and the disciples. Right, so he uses his miraculous power to pay the tax, right, so that he and his friend might spend the next few hours in peace, right, in peace. So let's close our eyes. Let's go back, since we are praying and since we are fasting, "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." And maybe this could be a really good encouragement to us as we continue on. Well, today is, what, Friday, Saturday? We've got 3 more days, right? And so let's finish strong. Let's just really allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Pray for the grace of God to really flow. Maybe you're encountering something of this kind that can only come out by prayer and fasting. And I want to encourage you to go before the Lord and really intercede. Rebuke the enemy. Seek God's face. Let's recommit ourselves these last 3 days to finish strong.
He is my faithful Father, calling me out of the dark. I cannot whisper away what He said in the light. He is my firm foundation, my anchor won't be moved. Storms may collide, but my soul is on fire.
And let's pray this battle that we're in. Right? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Right? This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. There is a spiritual warfare element to our intercession and our prayers. And let's pray. Let's just ask God to really fuel our intercession as we're fasting. And I know there's a lot of serious topics and things that we're praying for. Let's just really pray for a breakthrough in your own personal life, right? In the life of some of your house church members or your body or this church. Let's just lift up right now. Friends and family that are battling through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery, they're battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling through COVID. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for the symptoms so it would be eliminated and we get well. Let's also lift up our frontline medical workers. Pray for strength. Pray for protection. And let's continue to pray for the nurse shortage here in Hong Kong. Community that's looking for work. And let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Pray for Pastor Sophia, Jungmin, and Hyunjin, SB Tokyo. Pastor Sophia is in Australia. Pray for her rest there. Let's also pray in the States for SB New York with Kelly, Jess, and Ruth in the community, and Kelly in India. And let's lift up these countries and lift up our warriors that are ministering there. Pray over the Missions Council. Let's pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation as they hear from the Lord and really lead our church in this area. Pray for SP Fam, our foster and option ministries. And let's pray for the babies that are in our care and the kids that we minister to. Let's just pray for families that are signing up, that they would finish the process and God would continue to bless this ministry. Gatherings tonight. Let's pray for our prayer meeting. We're having kind of the end of fast prayer meeting tonight. We're inviting the whole church to come out. Let's pray for the youth group and also SPU. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really lead and guide our young people, and our leaders would really be equipped to do that. Let's pray for their health, pray for their bodies, pray for the baby in the womb, pray for successful deliveries. So let's lift up. Let's pray for house church tonight, Agora, Goa, McCain, McDaddy, Providence Bay, and Zion. Let's pray for just the God's grace upon them. If they choose to still meet, let's just pray for the Lord to really use them. Thank you. Let's go to the member of prayer focus. And let's pray for Kelly, our missionary in India. Let's pray so that she could see Jesus more clearly. Pray for the chance team to have a deeper love for Jesus and salvation for the people that she works with. Let's lift up Kelly and her ministry there. Pray for Andrew, Joan, and Samuel. Pray for God's mercy for Joan and Andrew's new life chapter together. Pray for wisdom and time to bring up Samuel and the Lord, and God's grace for loved ones battling depression. Let's lift up. To reliance on self and total reliance on God. Pray to witness how God is at work in his Korean business and pray for salvation for his family. So let's pray for Caleb Scher. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for gathering us together to pray, to seek your face. Lord, thank you for this time of fasting, God. Lord, we're encouraged, Lord, by your words. This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. I know many of us are praying for very many serious things, God, in our own lives, God, in our families, Lord, in our church families, God. And we just pray for breakthrough, God. Lord, the last 3 days, God, help us to finish strong. Lord, increase our intercession. Father, let us be able to really pour our heart out to you, God. Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for tonight's prayer meeting. We pray that you'd gather your children, Lord God, and there will be a powerful time of intercession and breakthrough through us as a body, God. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Watch over us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tonight, hopefully, and then we'll see you tomorrow morning for Saturday AMP.